Welcome to Bird Talk Live Online with your host, Mike Kiger. This next segment of Bird Talk Live Online is an interview with Deb Thrift of New Wings Bird Sanctuary and Rescue in Ontario, Canada. Deb was a breeder of small birds breeding out of love for the color variety of small birds until one day an abused parrot was brought to her door. Deb was so taken by this abused bird, she began to worry about who her birds she was selling were going to. She decided that she did not even want one of her birds to end up being abused, so she downsized her breeding operation from over 600 birds for sale to a large bird rescue organization. Please join us on Bird Talk Live Online for this pre-recorded segment with Deb Thrift of New Wings Bird Rescue and Sanctuary, Ontario, Canada.
Hi from Kansas City, Casey Bird Whisperer International, Bird Talk Live Online. We're live on air with Deb Thrift. Deb, go ahead and let us have it about how you, we were just talking previously, folks. I was talking to Deb on the phone here about how she was a breeder, and she became got into bird rescue. You want to go ahead and lay it on us, Deb?
Yes, and I'd like to thank you for inviting me to come to share, because I think it's important that the bird community be connected and share and encourage one another. And this is a great, awesome opportunity for everyone to have a chance to share what they've done with their birds, their future hopes and dreams for the bird population in general. So, but thank you. But yes, I did start out as a breeder. I was raised around birds. My very first pet was a bird. I had a budgie when I was a child and kind of grew up knowing birds as pets more than dogs or cats. So in 1974, I decided to begin to breed budgies at that time. There was very, very little known about birds at that time. The basic diet for most birds at that point was seed, and every bird had to have gravel, and there was no fresh foods, no vegetables, none of the things that we know now as being standard bird care. It was all new. It was all things that would come along in the future. But after many years of breeding mostly small birds, I specialized in conures and English budgies. I did some showing and did some weighing and built up a reputation that with my birds. I adopted a green-winged macaw by the name of Skye, and that was in 2010. Up until that point, I was totally unaware that there was a need for any rescuing of any parrots. Just think of somebody abusing a bird was something that would never cross my mind. Dogs and cats, yes. Children, all horses, everything like this. But it never, ever even occurred to me that there would be a need for rescues for parrots. You look at the price of them in the pet stores, and some people had mentioned to me about abused macaws or neglected macaws and cockatoos and larger parrots. But I couldn't really believe it and grasp it in my mind. But when I adopted Skye, I adopted him for rescue in London, Ontario, Canada, and he had been extremely abused. He was thrown against a wall when he was less than a year old. He broke his wing in 7 to 9 different places. He broke both his legs and his feet, and he was never treated. He was left like that. And
so when Skye came to you, Skye was in that condition.
He had been rescued. He'd been with the rescue for about 6 years. Their circumstances changed, and they felt that he needed somebody that could be home all the time. And I'm a stay-at-home bird mama. So after 6 months of negotiating and talking and learning more about Skye, it was agreed that I could adopt him after she checked out all my references. And when I saw him, and for the very first time, I saw how his wing is totally damaged. He can't lift it. He can't flap his wing. He's not able to perch normally. That changed everything.
Understandably.
That made me very aware.
Understandably. And how long, can you back up a little bit and kind of give us a little more detail about the breeding and how you got into breeding?
I enjoyed the challenge of creating new color mutations in budgies. So that's where I began. I specialized in Latino budgies and in the violet budgies. And from there, I added canaries and different small birds, finches. I did finches. They have cages with toys, and they were cleaned every day. Yes.
You're not kidding.
No, I'm serious.
Is this mostly smaller birds?
It was mostly smaller birds. The biggest bird that I had up until that point was, as a pet, I had bought an Indian ringneck. So everything was green-cheeked conures and smaller.
Right.
So it sounds like a lot of birds, and it is a lot of birds, but like there were a lot of smaller birds that lived in community flights and things like that, finches.
Right, okay, so I guess you had the space for all these birds. Why in the world, how did you expand to so many birds? That's quite a large flock. And what was your motivation there?
Every time I had a new baby of a new color, I wanted to keep it. So it verges on the hoarder, I guess.
Not such a bad motivation, Deb.
But, you know, every time there's a new color, I wanted to keep a new color. So, you know, it doesn't take long when you're breeding for different color mutations to soon have 300 puppies.
Wow. Wow. So your heart was in it, and you just loved them all,
Yes, they were all looked after every day. My birds were fed, they were cleaned, they had fluorescent lighting, they had toys in their cages. I never realized that birds were raised in any other conditions.
Amazing.
To be very honest, I did not realize that some of them are living in horrible conditions. I figured everybody else raised them the same way as I did. I just loved my birds, so I spent all my waking hours looking after them.
Wow. That's amazing. And again, can you just kind of go over how you kind of transitioned from all the breeding to rescuing?
After I got Sky, I also adopted at the same time a very plucked blue crown conure that had been taken in by the same rescue. It had been saved at a vet clinic. The owners were going to have her put down because she had pulled all her feathers except for her wing feathers and her feathers on her head where she couldn't reach them. And I took both birds home, and I got to know them. And as I started to watch them, it began to dawn on me that there's more birds. Sky's not the only one. Her name's Little Angel. She's not the only bird that's been treated like this. So I began slowly to remove breeding birds from my breeding program. And I've always been very picky on breeding homes where my birds went. I always take them back. People can't keep them. So I place them into other homes as pets. And, it's been a process. It's taken me 4 years to downsize so that all the birds now that I have here now are breeding birds that have been retired. They're not suitable for pets, some of them. But I'm working with them. But they're all being placed into pet homes.
Wow.
So it's been a lot of work, and I've been very thankful. I've had a lot of help from other friends and things that were breeders that have helped me find suitable pet homes for some of my retired breeders, because there was no way I was going to allow them to go back into a breeding situation.
Right. Well, the breeders, evidently, and obviously for people that have experience with birds, they're not tame, they haven't been handled by people, so it might have been a little more difficult to find homes for them.
It was. Some of them had never really been handled. My birds were used to people going in their cages and cleaning and moving toys and things like that, so they weren't terrified of people. But nowadays, most people want a hands-on bird, and these were definitely not. Now, people have done some amazing things. I'm very proud of them. They've worked with them slowly, rewarded them. And some of them have become awesome pets. They're very tame. They're very proud of all the work they've done, and so am I, because the birds have come around to look forward to time with them. They allow them to touch them. They'll step up for them, but not all of them. So some people agreed to take the birds and give them homes. Like, they're still staying in cages. They're allowed out, some of them, to play. But they have nice big cages, and they have lots of toys. And they're in a central location where they're part of the family, even though they're not hands-on pets like most of us like.
Right. They're used to being handled. That was something that I was curious about. It's something that a lot of us talk about, especially with the breeding issue, is that most of these breeder birds don't get handled. So as they get older, they become more difficult to have as a pet, so to speak. And then once their breeding ability has played out, then you have a bird that's difficult to enjoy and is older. So there's seems to be more of a kind of a learning curve or more difficulty in getting that bird in a kind of ability to become someone's pet.
Yes, well, it's very true. Because they're smaller birds, it's not as difficult. It would be extremely difficult, I think, if people were raising cockatoos, macaws, Amazons. I could see that there'd be extreme difficulty with a lot of them to make them companion pets because of the fact that they have been kept as pairs. They're bonded to one another. They're not used to being handled. A lot of these bigger, especially the bigger species of birds, can be very aggressive and territorial, so they would be very, very difficult to place. I was fortunate because most of my birds were small, so like it's worked out very well on my sake, but I know that just from my own experience of taking in some rescues, that the breeding birds are very difficult to place. Most of them stayed here permanently because they are too aggressive to be companions in a family situation.
Right. Deb, can you give us your website or Facebook page, and we'll take a couple minute break here and let everyone take a minute to do whatever they need to do before we get into the second half here. I would like to hear a lot more about the rescue. Do you have a Facebook page or website that you'd like to share?
Yes, I have a Facebook page. It's New Wings Bird Rescue and Sanctuary.
Okay. And that, if you're listening, that's on my Facebook page right now. I posted her link for New Wings Bird Rescue and Sanctuary. If you're listening now, I'm talking with Deb Thrift from this bird rescue who was really breeding on a large scale, mostly because she just loved the birds and the different colors, and her success with bringing out different colors from different breeding situations here that I'm not much of an expert on or have a lot of experience with. And it's really a great pleasure to hear from someone that has a lot of experience and that got into this from the heart, that wasn't just trying to make a lot of money, that just loved birds. And then one day she adopted a bird that was in bad shape and decided to start a rescue and downsize the breeding operation, and now is running a full-scale rescue. We'll be right back. If you're listening, we're Bird Talk Live Online, a presentation of Casey Bird Whisperer International. We'll be right back in a few more minutes with Deb Thrift. Wow, another Kleenex interview, I'm telling you folks. I can't get enough of this. I'm gonna have to buy more Kleenex. So these stories are just heart-wrenching, how these people get involved with these beautiful creatures and their heart gets into it. And the next thing you know, we've got a heartwarming, heart-wrenching story, another one. With Deb Thrift, we'll be right back about how she went from bird breeder on a major scale to bird rescuer. We'll be right back.
Is a horticulturalist and rainforest photojournalist, and she's created a sparkling, innovative way for us to learn about the essential connection between the rainforests, our planet's natural resources, and the harmony we'll find in nurturing the Earth's family of life. Using the inherent beauty and intelligence of rare birds, Yvonne has developed a captivating live presentation that connects with the extraordinary animals that we share our world with. Wings of Love is dazzling educational entertainment for your corporate, school, and church event, birthday party, or scouting function. It's fascinating fun for all ages. Wings of Love. Birds of a feather, learning together.
Live from Kansas City, Casey Bird Whisperer International presents Bird Talk Live Online with your host, Mike Kiger. We're on a station break, having a wonderful conversation with Deb Thrift, how she went from bird breeder to bird rescuer. We'll be right back in just a few minutes.
Brothers Pets carries a full line of animals, tropical and saltwater fish, reptiles, exotic birds, and all the supplies to maintain them. Brothers Pets care about their customers and the pets they sell. The people at Brothers Pets work hard every day to bring you not only the best products, but also the best service. Brothers Pets staff has well over 100 years combined experience in animal husbandry and care. Brothers Pets welcomes special orders and do the best to meet all of your pet needs. Brothers Fish and Pets has become one of the largest independent pet stores in the Midwest thanks to their loyal customers for almost 40 years. You've been listening to Bird Talk Live Online, a presentation of KC Bird Whisperer International, kcbirdwhisperer.org, and birdtalkradio.com. Bird Talk Live Online broadcast on the Live 365 Internet Radio Network. This segment with Deb Thrift was recorded during a live interview on air. Please tune in daily for more of our interview with Deb Thrift and New Wings Bird Rescue and Sanctuary. Please visit birdtalkradio.com and our Facebook page, facebook.com/KC Bird Whisperer. That's facebook.com/KC, like Kansas City, Bird Whisperer, for links to our daily show broadcast. Bird Talk Live Online broadcasts pre-recorded shows Monday through Sunday. Live shows are aired generally on Saturday and Sunday. Advertisers may email kcbirdwhisperer@gmail.com for information or call 816-278-2494. That's 816-278-2494 anytime. Thank you for tuning in to Bird Talk Live Online, live from Kansas City.